What's up, everyone? This is Anthony Pompliano. Most of you know me as Pomp. You're listening to the Pomp Podcast, simply the best podcast out there. Now let's kick this thing off.
Colton Sakamoto is the CEO of Inflection Points, Inc. In this conversation, we talk about how to get a job in the Bitcoin or crypto industry, including what number of the industry trends are, where people are applying, how much they get paid, and exactly what you at home can do if you're looking for a job. I really enjoyed this conversation with Colton, and I hope that you enjoy it as well. Before we get into this episode, though, I first want to talk about our sponsors. First up is LMAX Digital, the number one institutional crypto exchange. They offer clients the deepest pool of crypto liquidity on the planet, underscored by a 100% uptime track record through volatility spikes. They leverage LMAX Group's liquidity relationships and ultra-low latency technology. LMAX Digital is the market-leading solution for institutional crypto trading and custodial services. If you've never heard of LMAX Digital, it's probably because you're not an institution. They have no retail, only institutions. They feature a central limit order book streaming spot Bitcoin, Ether, Litecoin, and Bitcoin Cash, all paired with US dollars, euro, and yen. LMAX Digital, they're secure, they're liquid, and they're trusted. Learn more at lmaxdigital.com/pomp. Again, lmaxdigital.com/pomp. This episode is brought to you by 8sleep. 8sleep is the single best product that I have purchased over the last 3 years. It completely changed my life. I'm not joking. Pay attention. The Pod Pro cover, which goes over your mattress by 8sleep, is the most advanced solution on the market for thermoregulation. It pairs dynamic cooling and heating with biometric tracking. You can go to 8sleep.com/pomp to check out the Pod Pro cover, and you save $150 at checkout. They currently ship within the United States, Canada, and the UK. Now, I told you, it changed my life. It helps me sleep deeper, helps me sleep longer. I feel much more refreshed, and I have better energy. You want to know how I have relentless energy every single day? It's because I sleep on an 8sleep. Seriously, go check it out, 8sleep.com/pomp today. This episode is brought to you by OKX. OKEX has dropped the E to become OKX. Founded in 2017 with a mission to deliver a cutting-edge crypto trading experience, OKX, the world's second largest crypto exchange by trading volume, has since expanded its scope alongside the wider industry, adding features from all corners of crypto. If EX is about exchange, X is about intersections. Cross-chain, cross-functional, cross-platform, an interoperable future that's not siloed into isolated platforms and blockchains. The name change and the new look and feel represent OKX's ongoing move towards decentralized finance. With OKX's decentralized platform and Web3 wallet, MetaX, you have full custody over your crypto. Connect MetaX in your browser or within the OKX app to explore DeFi, NFTs, and play to earning gaming, the world's most powerful crypto exchange. Whether you're just learning about crypto, you're a seasoned DeFi degen, an NFT enthusiast, or a pro trader, you're all invited to a better future. Go check it out today and let me know what you think.
Anthony Pompliano runs Pomp Investments. All views of him and the guests on his podcast are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Pomp Investments. You should not treat any opinion expressed by Pomp or his guests as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of his personal opinion. This podcast is for informational purposes only.
Got Colton here. How are you?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Let's start first with everyone wants to know how to get a job in crypto. How big is the market? Like when you think about people trying to get a job, are there tons and tons of open roles or just there's a lot of demand but not a lot of supply?
Yeah, there's a lot of demand. There's a lot of supply. I think if you do a LinkedIn search, hold me to this, but I believe there's over 100,000 people working in the Bitcoin and crypto industry right now. Coinbase, they employ 5,000 plus people. They're hiring a bunch of people this year. And even as some of these fintech companies are starting to lay off people, it seems like Coinbase and some of these others are really absorbing the talent.
Yeah. And so when you think about the types of roles of people coming over, obviously we've got the job marketplace, right? We've got the training programs, a bunch of stuff that we've built ourselves. But talk to me about this idea of like, who's actually transitioning? Is this just a software developer at Facebook is the one that ends up getting a job? Or is it people from all walks of life?
Yeah, we've seen people from all walks of life. I think top talent is leaving fintech and legacy finance to join the industry, lawyers, accountants, et cetera. But then all the way down to, you know, customer service. I think some of the most interesting stories, we know someone pretty well who's in his mid-50s. He was a former funeral director, and now he's working at social media in the crypto industry. Another guy's a college dropout. He was selling insurance for State Farm, now works for Bitcoin Inc. And then you hear stories of people like the 13-year-old kid that's like a Solana dev. He might need to pick it up a little bit based on recent developments, but there's a spot for everyone in the industry.
So there's literally people who were a funeral director and selling insurance, like the whole gamut. People are end up transitioning. Is that because they're just really kind of high quality people who are self-starters? Like, what makes those individuals who you wouldn't think of as having tech jobs already so successful in transitioning?
Yeah, I think they're self-starters. There's a lot of talent, but I think these people are just super passionate about the industry. And when you wake up every day excited to go to work, I think you do a good job. You know, you do your own research, you know, come prepared to the interviews, and really just kind of leads to success all the way across.
Yeah. As you guys have worked with, I don't know, at this point, over 1,000 people, I think, have gotten a job.
Yeah.
What are some of like the tips or tricks that you tell folks in terms of like they can increase the probability of success in transitioning?
Yeah, there's a number of things. One is just find out what you're passionate about. You know, if you're Bitcoin only, then go look for a Bitcoin only company. So number one is just kind of do your research beforehand, identify what kind of role you're looking for. If you're someone who's only worked in customer experience, like don't go looking for a software developer job. Your chances of success there are next to zero. And the other thing is don't apply to a bunch of different roles at companies. I say that and laugh because I'm 25. I recently graduated college. When I graduated, I had no clue what I wanted to do. So I would literally just go on LinkedIn and like look at companies that were interesting, you know, Nike, Under Armour, whatever, and go apply to like 10 different roles at the companies. Turns out that's a pretty ineffective strategy. So kind of narrow down what you're looking for and kind of have it align with your skill set. If your skill set isn't suited towards what you want to do, then take the initiative on your own and go, you know, do a boot camp, go build up some experience, build up a portfolio that you can kind of showcase to these companies.
And that's like the most interesting thing. So the advice I always give job seekers is like, do the job before you get the job, right? Yep. Which is if you want to be a salesperson, if you show up to the interview and you're like, hey, I have these three leads that I found for you guys, they want to talk to someone here at the company, who should I introduce them to? If you're the person hiring, you're like, oh, I think you're going to be pretty good at this. Like, you know, we should find a role for you. But also there's other things where in some way it used to be like resumes mattered. So what school did you go to? What was your degree? What was your GPA? Like all that type of stuff. Now, if somebody shows up and they're like, yeah, I got 50,000 followers on Twitter and I talk only about, I don't know, customer service, best practices, a customer service role, you're likely to be pretty good at it, right? Like you've shown the proficiency right in it or the knowledge base. Like what have you seen people do there that's pretty cool?
Yeah, what I think it comes down to is like de-risking the hire. So when you come with a portfolio or if you come with leads, you know, the hiring manager wants to see that you can do the job. And so I've been on both sides. I've applied and then I've hired. And the people that really show the initiative to write the cover letter, to show genuine interest in the company, and then come prepared, and, you know, to the interview, here's my portfolio, here are some leads. It really, you know, lets the hiring manager know that the person can do the job well.
Yeah. When you start to think about things people can do to learn more, like where do you normally send folks from like a learning, just, hey, I need to get my experience and my knowledge base up before I actually start to apply?
Yeah. If you want to work in the industry, I think you have to be on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I think that's step number one. And then from there, start with the free resources. You know, follow people like you, follow people like Sailor, follow the people that are pushing out, you know, quality content, you know, go down the YouTube rabbit hole, watch different podcasts, sign up for newsletters, just kind of absorb as much free content as you can first. And then once you kind of have that baseline level of understanding, that's when I think you can go, you know, take the next step, continue to network. We have our training program that's really good for networking and getting right in front of the right people at companies, thecryptoacademy.io. And we have a career day where these companies literally come in, they pitch students on why they should come work for them. They literally tell them, hey, here's what we look for in applicants. Here's what you should and shouldn't do in the application process. And just really puts you kind of ahead of the curve in comparison to other applicants.
And so when you see people be successful, how long does this take? Is this a 1 week process? Does it take a whole year? Like what would you say the average transition time is?
Yeah, it really just depends. We've seen people go through our program specifically and then land a job within a couple of days. And there's some people that, you know, they couldn't leave their job, you know, for a couple months to even potentially a couple years. One guy comes to mind, he works now at Cross River. He was formerly at USAA. He was in like our third cohort, which is basically was a year ago. And he wasn't able to leave his job. He wanted to stay there for whatever reasons. He couldn't relocate, et cetera. And then only recently he accepted a sweet job at Cross River.
And so somebody like that, once they get there, what are they doing on a day-to-day basis? Like, how different is the crypto industry if you're in, let's say, I don't know, operations or marketing or accounting versus if I go work at a regular tech company or even a small business? Like, how different is it?
Yeah, I think it really just depends, but the industry moves so fast. I think you have to be someone who is a self-starter, who's comfortable wearing a bunch of different hats. A lot of the companies are pretty early stage, you know, with exception to, you know, a company like Coinbase, but it's wearing a lot of different hats. It's enjoying the process of things moving quickly. The industry changes so quick. So I think kind of having that adaptability is super key.
And one of the things I know you and I have talked about, which I find fascinating, is like Twitter has almost become LinkedIn to some degree.
Totally.
What do you see people do there successfully in terms of using that platform?
Yeah, hate to toot my own horn, but I have a great story there. But I think just being yourself on Twitter, you know, if you're a meme guy, create memes. If you're a content guy, you know, put out quality threads and things like that. But the thing that's unique about Twitter is it allows you to essentially kind of be in the same virtual room as super successful people that you wouldn't otherwise be in rooms with. So you can, you know, DM people, you can at people, and, you know, it's really just the ultimate networking tool, in my opinion. And in crypto specifically, people are a lot more receptive to responding to stuff as opposed to LinkedIn. Myself included, if someone adds me on LinkedIn, they send me a message, I'm terrible at responding to it, but I'm much better at responding to Twitter DMs for whatever reason.
Yeah, I'm the exact same way. I think that most people who are active on Twitter, that is one of their main communication channels. You run the employment and training business that we started. Do you want to tell everyone how we met as an example of how Twitter DM networking can be effective?
Yeah, it was a little over a year ago. I was sitting on my couch watching football, and Palm tweeted out that he wanted to hire a chief meme officer. I made a meme of him holding Peter Schiff like a baby. He tweeted it out. Peter responded. It was this whole thing on Twitter. Pomp and I exchanged DMs for a little bit, hopped on a call, and then fast forward, and here we are today.
I remember specifically you kept sending me memes, and I was like, you have way too much time on your hands. Like, what else? Like, what's going on in your life, right? When you start to think about age, that's a question that I get all the time. Is like, is this only for young people? Are there older folks? Like, what do you see there in terms of who has success, who doesn't? Does age matter at all?
Yeah, no, I don't think age matters at all. That's a pretty common question that people ask. Is like, hey, I'm in my 40s, 50s, 60s. I'm super interested in this. I realize Bitcoin is the future. How do I get involved? And the thing I tell them is, one, kind of the anecdotes or stories that I kind of shared earlier. But two is like, start producing some content. You don't necessarily have to have a job in the space to contribute to the industry. And oftentimes contributing to the industry, you know, via newsletter, podcast, et cetera, leads to more opportunities too. So I always tell those people, look, it's never too late to get started, but just start, you know, putting content out there, start absorbing as much information as you can, and then start applying.
What about geographic location? Like, everyone talks about this whole like move to remote work. Is most of the roles remote? Are some of them in office? Like, what are you seeing there? And then also, like, what do you see from the candidates so far?
Yeah, there's this new concept that like latitudes matter more than anything, and it's basically time zones, right? So it's more location agnostic and more so, you know, can you fit into the certain time zone that the job requires you to. But oftentimes these companies are just looking for top talent kind of regardless of where they are.
So what people are saying is, look, I don't care if you live in, let's say, New York City or in San Francisco. What I care is can be plus or minus, you know, 2 or 3 hours from a specific time zone. So if you're on the West Coast and we're an East Coast company, it's 3 hours, perfect, or vice versa. But it may be harder if, let's say, it's a company based in Singapore and you're in the United States where there's, you know, much more significant time kind of conflict, if you will.
Yeah, correct. Airbnb is a good example where I think they recently just opened up and said, hey, you guys can work from wherever. We just want, you know, the best talent. So Coinbase, they don't have a headquarters, and there's a number of other companies in the industry that are pretty much location agnostic and they just want talent.
Yeah. What about pay? Like, are these jobs paying more than, let's say, their counterparts at other tech companies? Are they paying more than like working at like a small business? What do you see there?
They're paying enough to lure away the top talent from a lot of the top companies. But I think a lot of the job seekers, you know, realize the upside, you know, in potential equity and things like that. And it's just much more exciting than wearing a suit and tie every day and, you know, dreading work. It's actually more fun, more engaging. You're working in an industry that you believe in and you're passionate about. Yeah. So to answer your question, yes, the pay is good across the board, but also there's the added benefit of equity and also just enjoying work in general.
Yeah. It does seem like people are maybe happier, right? And they don't feel like it's as much of a job as like, hey, this is fun. The pay, as you mentioned, probably is higher. Is that what's leading to a lot of like the brain drain on Wall Street, if you will, as well, where basically people are saying, hey, I'm super interested in finance in general. This is a new form of finance or a new kind of corner of finance. I can't do this stuff at my existing job. So why not go get paid to do it, you know, full time?
Yeah. I think the metric that's exciting to a lot of people is that overlay of like, where we are with Bitcoin adoption in comparison to where we were with the internet adoption. And people are kind of realizing maybe they should skate where the puck is going and not where the puck has been. So I think people are just, you know, waking up to, you know, this is the future and everyone's trying to get involved one way or the other.
Got it. And when you start to think about kind of the types of companies, how many of these are like DAOs and NFTs and what I would consider more of like the nuanced or experimental stuff in crypto versus these are large infrastructure type businesses with equity and they'd be like a Coinbase or a BlockFi, something like that?
Yeah, there's a lot of both, obviously. I think Coinbase is kind of the quintessential example of like the bigger, more established company that sort of structurally is like a lot of, you know, Apples and things like that that are publicly traded. But there's everything all the way down to joining a DAO where the barriers to entry are significantly lower. And that's, again, another way to get involved is like, we know this kid who went through our program whose his goal is basically work at as many DAOs as possible. He was pretty much fresh out of college and didn't have the experience to directly pivot into kind of a bigger company. And then he was just super passionate about working at DAOs. So the barriers to entry are kind of vary with the companies. But yeah, to answer your question, we're seeing, you know, exchanges, we're seeing infrastructure all the way down to, you know, DAOs and things like that as well.
Yeah. And then how should people think about compensation? Is this just compensation in fiat? Are they getting compensated in Bitcoin or Ether or something like that? Or are they getting compensated with like all sorts of like long tail weird assets that they never heard of before? Like how much of it's like, quote unquote, real assets versus like super risky stuff?
Yeah, to be honest, I'm not sure what goes on with the DAOs.
Okay.
But like the companies like Coinbase and stuff, they pay in fiat. And then, you know, with companies like Strike, they allow it for, if you are paid in fiat, you can exchange that for Bitcoin and things mm-hmm. like that. So there's a lot of infrastructure in place to, even if the companies don't pay in crypto, you can get paid in crypto.
Yeah. And then what about like the community in general? I think one of the other key pieces to this is like, I get approached all the time by people who say, hey, look, I don't feel like I know enough yet to transition into the crypto industry. But I do have an aspiration to do that over the next 6-12 months. How have you seen people kind of enter into maybe like the conversation online or the community and start to build those relationships that they may then leverage 6 or 12 months later when they actually go start looking for a job?
Yeah, for the most part, it's a super welcoming community. Everyone jokes that like the GM, like the good morning is like the you know, welcoming sign to people in the industry and people outside of it. Bitcoin Maxis, you kind of have to tread a little more lightly with them. But overall, it's a really welcoming community. And I think even the Maxis would kind of point you in the right direction. In terms of entering the industry, like I've seen all kinds of different things work. I think it was FTX where someone airdropped them their resume, and then they like immediately hired the guy just because it was so creative. But I think what it comes down to is like, how can you get creative with your resume so that you can, one, kind of showcase yourself, and then two, showcase that you're interested in the industry and, you know, you have a personality and you kind of have some feel. The other thing I've seen that I think worked too, I don't think it was in crypto though, but the starting salary was like $50,000 for this company. And that person found the hiring manager on Venmo and requested $50,000 first year salary on Venmo. And it turned out, I think, working for him. So I think the underlying message is just like, get creative and showcase your skills as best as you can.
There's a guy who continuously Venmo requests me for $500 and he just keeps writing shooter shoot. And he's been doing it for like a year. And he just,
do you pay him?
No, never.
Why not?
Listen, because I kind of want to see how long it's going to take him to give up. But he's like clever. For a year now. Yeah, yeah. Shooters are definitely shooting in my Venmo inbox. We got a couple of questions from the audience. The first is, what is the pay range for non-technical jobs? Obviously, there's a wide disparity, but like, where do you think that generally sits?
Oh, yeah, that's a really good question. And it really just depends on the type of role. But I mean, we've seen, I don't know, 50 to upwards of, you know, like mid six figures. It really just depends on the role and, you know, if there's things like commission included and, you know, what the equity component looks like. But generally, you know, really competitive pay.
Somebody else asked, what about if I am a structural engineer, would they take me seriously? And I think that the spirit of this question we get actually a lot, which is like, hey, what if I don't actually do the job that maybe I want to do, or that there's not an easy crossover? Like I, one time I had a chef, like an actual yeah. trained chef say like, hey, do they need chefs? And he was like, I don't even necessarily want to be a chef anymore. I may want to transition to a different role. How do you see that?
Yeah, it's definitely a little bit tougher, but it can be done. Right. I don't want to kind of blow smoke and say, yes, absolutely, you can get a job. But I think you have to put in the work. You have to come prepared with, you know, baseline level of Bitcoin and crypto knowledge. And then you have to find where you fit in. And I think that's often the toughest question for people to answer. Structural engineering, I'm not sure if there's kind of an overlap with like, you know, the crypto and Bitcoin mining, but that might be something where this specific guy can kind of get started.
Zach asked, are there enough people actually openly hiring, and where should people look?
Yeah, great question. There's hundreds, if not thousands of open roles. There's hundreds of open roles listed on our job platform, pompcryptojobs.com. So I always recommend people start there, sign up for job alerts, plenty of other places too. Go on LinkedIn, create job alerts there, and just, you know, find what you're passionate about and continue to look at these sites.
Got it. And then when you think about the training, tell people where they can go there if they feel like, hey, I want a job, but I don't actually have the skill set yet. And I need to it's not enough for me just to get the free resources. Cause I think your point about like, go get the free resources first, listen to the podcast, go follow on Twitter, read the newsletters. There's so much content out there, but if people say, hey, I just need somebody to guide me, or I need somebody to help me do this, where can we send them?
Yeah. Thecryptoacademy.io. One quick little story there. We have one guy, he was in an early iteration, one of the earlier cohorts, and he told us he literally applied for hundreds of roles in the crypto industry. I don't recommend this, but he never wrote any cover letters and he was just shooting shots, just getting shots on goal. And he kept hearing no. He enrolled in the training program, a company that presented at the Career Day. He's from Canada, actually. Was super interesting to him. And then he got hired pretty quickly after. So it's for the type of person that, you know, maybe you've applied a couple times, you don't know exactly where you fit in, you don't know exactly how to network and how to tailor your resume. We cover that as well as all the Bitcoin and crypto basics.
So one of the things that I think people don't understand or don't take seriously is we've been doing this now for a year and maybe 2 months or so.
Yep.
There's been nearly 1,000 people, I think, that have been hired through the job marketplace itself. So this is where companies are coming, they're listing all the roles. There's hundreds of open jobs there. You just go and you apply yourself and it's just, hey, I put my resume, I put an application in and they'll call me or email me if they're interested. But also the training program, I mean, how many people at this point? It's got to be over 100 easily.
It's over 100, yeah.
Right? And these people are getting hired at Gemini, Coinbase, BlockFi, Kraken, BTC Inc., Anchorage, like all the top companies in the industry. And part of it ends up being that what they're looking for is just high quality, talented individuals who have a passion for the industry. And then they kind of feel like even if you're not perfect, but you're a self-starter, you have kind of all the qualities that make a person who can contribute value to the organization, they'll help you get up to speed once you get in the role.
Yeah, totally. I mean, like you said, all the top companies, and for the most part, it was non-technical roles too. There's this common misconception that you have to be a shadowy super coder to work in the industry. We disproved that with our program. The first probably 80 hires were non-technical. We've had a few now that have gone through and now they're software engineers at Coinbase and stuff. But in my opinion, it's the best out there for networking. If you're non-technical and you don't know where you fit in, you know, we can help you identify some roles. We can help you clean up your resume and, you know, tell you what to do during the interview process. And then we've seen people, you know, go work contract roles at mining companies. We've had people start companies with people they met in the program. We've had people start newsletters and podcasts. So I think the kind of broader message is there's tons of different entry points into this industry. It's basically just, you know, a matter of how committed you want to be.
I think that's a great way to look at it. Where can we send people to find you on the internet if they want to bother you?
I'm at CJSakamoto15 on Twitter. I'm mostly pretty good at responding to DMs. I don't have a ton of followers like our boy over here, but I post a lot of memes. So If you like memes, give me a follow.
Last question I have for you is everyone always asks me 100% success rate. Is that his real last name?
It's my real last name.
and they always like, you're telling me somebody's name in the crypto industry is Sakamoto?
Yeah.
That's his real last name. Like, are you sure? I'm pretty damn sure.
My great grandma's maiden name was Nakamoto. Fun fact.
Really?
Really.
Are you Satoshi?
I'm not Satoshi. But get this, my grandma on my other side grew up in the same town as Mr. Hal Finney.
Really?
Yeah. Kalinga, California.
What? I don't know any of this yet. Like, what other data are you going to drop on us?
That's all I got.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I was like 9, 10, 11 when Bitcoin was created, so it wasn't me.
All right,
I don't think.
Maybe you're a genius.
Definitely not a genius.
All right. Anybody who wants to go check it out, go to pompcryptojobs.com. There's hundreds of open roles there at the top companies in the industry. And then you can go to thecryptoacademy.io and you can join the 3-week intensive training program there. We spend quite a bit of time. There's over 50 events in 3 weeks. So it's very fast paced, very intense, but it works. People get jobs at all the top companies in the industry. So go check out either one of those. Colton, I appreciate you taking the time to come on here and help people get some jobs.
Thanks for having me.
All right, buddy. Sounds good. See you later.
See ya.